For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This message will self-destruct.
What time is the danger? What time is the danger?
It's time to begin the football weekend.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
24 Reno.
Oh, good morning. Happy Football Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
It's a sick-ass little t-shirt you got on
you
there.
You like that little throwback tee?
I do like that.
My little game day tee, Friday Football Friday tee.
I have a Benny t-shirt that I want to order. My only hang-up on it is it's gray. And it's not like that gray. It's like a lighter bluish, hue-ish gray.
No, I don't like that gray.
But it's a really cool throwback Benny shirt, and I'm like, I have it in the cart, and I just can't hit that purchase.
Not quite sure yet if we fully want to buy it. The problem I pulled with this one today is I got dressed in the dark and didn't quite realize that I was also wearing gray shorts.
Oh yeah,
so I just got an all gray thing going on over here.
You know what's weird? I kind of had a darkness problem at my house too. My dad and my stepmom are in town.
Excuse me? Yeah, okay. You know what problem in your house?
A darkness.
Okay.
You said you were
just checking, making sure. All right.
Is that a reference to something sexual that I don't know?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know what's going on.
You're the one
house.
That started this weirdness. I was just trying to.
I just thought he was going like Therapy Thursday or something
like
that.
I don't know.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yes, I'm just making sure you're okay. I'm just checking on you, making sure everything's all right.
If it goes to Therapy Tuesday and Thursday, I think I would tell you to prepare to lose a co-host. Something awful is happening in my life.
We're going twice a week now.
Twice a week. There's some real stuff.
To settle our darkness issues.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I was trying to say that my family is over. They stayed the night last night, and they get up early, but 4:20 a.m. is a little different early.
Yeah, it's not early. That's psychotic early.
So, like, I didn't have my usual routine today. In fact, I was going to make a nice, delightful coffee, and then I just... they're snoring downstairs, and it's dark, and I'm like, I'll just creep into the garage.
Don't want to wake anybody up.
Yeah, and I did. Yeah. So I kind of had a similar thing going. I grabbed a shirt that I didn't want to have. The shirt's kind of too small for me. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing on a Friday.
Whole thing.
Well, I could tell. I remember that when I was younger, whenever we would go stay with family members, I was the man on the totem pole that always had to sleep on the couch wherever we went.
You lost your...
I never got a room wherever we went.
Yeah.
Stay with aunts and uncles, stay here or there. And so I was always the couch guy.
I preferred that, though. It's personally, like, whenever I went somewhere,
you
I had
like
a little
being
brother.
You like being couch guy?
Yeah, I do.
Did you have a TV, though? If you had a TV,
sometimes
then
you had a TV.
It was pretty good.
The dilemma would always be that my mom is an incredibly early riser, and so, and usually other people in the family would be as well. And prior to this psychotic
and you
job,
were in the
I
main
was
room,
not. And I'm just in the main, I'm in the main living room, and all of a sudden you hear coffee pots going at five, and conversations are going, and I'm like, dude, I went to bed 3.5 hours ago. Like, what? No, it is not time to wake up right now. This is way too early, man.
Maybe it's because I always was a little opposite of that. I always just woke up early.
You're just ready to go. Hey, what's going on in the kitchen?
I kind of liked pretending I was on that hide a couch or hide a bed on the couch, sleeping while I heard the gossip, smelled the coffee, and could smell the bacon going.
Yeah, the
I
breakfast gets going, and you're just eavesdropping on whatever conversations are happening.
You're pretending you're asleep.
Yeah. Oh, is Brandon asleep? Okay, well, don't tell him. This is going on. So-and-so doesn't really love it.
Whoa. Whoa. Well, now I know that. I'm glad I got the answer to that question.
Uncle Charlie.
There we go.
That was, I was not granted a room in family vacations until I got married. When I got married, I was finally graduated into room status.
There we go.
But prior to that.
You were a full-blown adult at
then
that
finally,
point.
I was, here you go. Welcome to having a door that you can close
until
in privacy.
Until you show up with Teddy Ball Game, you'll be in a separate floor.
Exactly, yes. I wake up on the couch without a shirt on and my chest is just out and everybody's looking at me and I'm like, oh, okay, everybody's awake now. Good morning, family.
It kind of looks like your nipple's leaking. You have a weird water stain.
Oh, it's probably pit sweat, to be honest with you.
But that's not on your pit.
You're already worried about Boise State, are you?
I gave it an itch. I mean, I am, absolutely. We're getting a little nervous here on a Friday. It's a tough part with wearing cotton t-shirts is that these things, by the end of the show,
they breathe.
Oh, we're good. We're showing off today on YouTube.
I'm wearing a shirt that's too small. It's not very long. If I raise my arms, it's going to go above my little belly button.
Not a good feeling.
I don't remember. Oh, Eric Revenot. Do you remember that name?
Mm-hmm.
Used to coach the Pilots.
How do you not? Pilot legend.
It looks like Swag's wearing one of his shirts. He's a 6'7" man, and Swag is wearing the biggest shirt I've ever seen.
This is from the Fat Swag days.
I don't even know if that's Fat Swag. That's like 6'9"
Swag. This one might be double extra large.
that's a big and tall Swag collection. That I don't remember big and tall days.
He came in here to talk to me.
It was
warm. It was bakey yesterday, and it's not going to be much cooler today. Like, schools are getting canceled and let out early all over the place because the AC can't keep up.
My kids went to 2 days of school, and now they're a three-day
weekend.
So
I wanted
already.
Something roomy and breathable today.
I get it, but it he came sense. In pre-show dirt. He came in to tell me about some audio stuff that he pulled, and he looked like he was wearing another man's shirt as if it was a 90s.
Right. He's wearing a 90s. Exactly.
He looked like Ebenezer Scrooge.
What would we put the odds on Swigard sleeping in a Portland Pilots 90?
Oh, man.
Where do we put those odds at?
Plus 125.
Plus 125,
a little
yes.
Plus money value,
yeah,
yes.
It's got to be a little plus value. It's not likely, but there's got to be slight plus value on
it. I have him in a completely purple, it says Pilots on the chest, onesie.
Ooh.
And then there's a little airplane that opens the chute and the hatch so he can open it and pee. That's what I have him doing.
Time to land the airplane.
And the wings are on the side. And it's right there's junks in between the wings. And he's like, I'm got a tinkle.
It's a hell of a visual to open the show on a Friday. You know what you could tell? It is so funny how it's, you know, I think we all get there this time of year because we're all excited. Just the NFL high that everybody has after last night. Like, who's not in a good mood after that
I'm
game?
I'm still riding it, man.
That
well,
was
Baltimore
such a fun,
fans, but
sure, but
other
it's one
than that,
game. It's a regular season. Like, there's a long ways to go. It just, it's amazing how different the morale is when you have something like that that you watch before
something
going
you
to bed.
Anticipate for,
yes.
And it lives
for
and
months.
It delivers.
God, that was, oh my
it
God.
It delivers.
That was so good.
Imagine being able to live up to that in your sex life.
Yes. Like, not never. In a
the
million
wife's
years.
Waiting for months and you just come in and
you
deliver.
Man!
No.
Woo!
That's never happened.
It's not quite like that, but no. That one did deliver.
That's it?
I'll add it to you. Not only did it deliver, but there is a special kind of happiness in having a rooting interest, but not really having a rooting interest.
Yes.
And you just getting to sit back with no anxiety and no stress and go,
yep.
No.
You know, ultimately, don't really care what the end result is. I'm rooting for who I'm rooting for, but if they don't win, guess what? No big deal. Yeah.
No, I'm definitely rooting for the Ravens, but it's not the end of my world if Kansas City wins because they're the damn Chiefs and they're probably going to win. And I've just accepted that fact. And that's the way the world's going to work.
Yeah.
So I will root against them at every game that they play because it's enjoyable, but know that, you know, it's not going to end well for me. So just enjoy the product. And I needed a cigarette after that game last night, man. It was awesome.
I have one complaint. Well, I got a couple little complaints from the game that we'll get to today, but I have one pre-game complaint.
pregame complaint.
Yeah. Now, this isn't a shot at the artist. No, I'm not talking about Taylor Swift, who looked quite hot last night.
I thought you were talking about Jack Collinsworth.
She brought her A game.
She did, yeah. Did you know her Eras tour is coming back to the States in October?
Well,
she's got a little downtime before the tour. Okay. I learned that from Mike Tirico last night. Very good there knowledge go. On the
I've
broadcast.
I've never been a big, like, Swifty, hottie guy. I thought she brought it last night. It was A1 week one for
was
her as well.
Was it the denim or the boots that
it was,
did it for
it
you?
It was the combination.
Okay.
I love some long boots. I love long leather boots. I don't know why or
like
where that comes
kinky
from.
Boots.
Yeah, there's a little bit of thank you, ma'am. May I have another?
Those boots are made for walking. They're walking all over you, buddy.
Well, no, they're walking on Travis Kelce and his fake hair. We'll get
she's
to that.
Almost 6 feet tall to begin with. So.
Is she really,
is
that,
she really
tall?
That tall?
She's pretty tall. I think she's in the 5'10.
There you go.
Area.
I don't know the, I'm forgetting the name of the song, and I meant to write it down. The singer was really exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what, the Lift Every Voice?
Why? It is like a 6 minute song and nobody knows the words to it. And I'm just like, when did we start doing this song? I thought we had one song that we only seemingly sing at sporting events.
And
if we didn't have sporting events, nobody would sing the national anthem ever.
No.
When did we add Lift Every Voice and when did that start?
That
did
was
I miss the memo?
That was a 2020 addition to the NFL. Now, okay. I don't know if we, I don't think well, we do it every game.
No, they don't do okay. it every game. Usually,
just big game.
What don't I? Oh, but
no.
Week one?
It's most often, because I know the Hops did it as their Juneteenth celebration.
Yes.
I think it was, that was specific in response as part of their recognizing the shooting that happened at the Super Bowl parade.
Oh,
at the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Oh.
I think this was a Chiefs thing. I don't think this was necessarily an NFL thing.
Huh.
I might be wrong.
Okay.
But they had a moment of silence for all those.
So I walked in right as they showed the gal, and I'm like, what?
That's right, when I turned it on, too.
And somebody's like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. I just walked into the wrong
moment. No, they had them lined up. They recognized the...
I forgot about that. They had a shooting at the parade.
Well, there's so many. Though.
Yeah,
I mean,
so I think it was part of that... recognition of what had happened at the victory parade.
Okay.
The radio DJ that was killed.
Yeah,
and,
I think that was the gal that they showed.
Yeah,
right?
Up on the screen, and they thanked the first responders and whatever else.
Well, so, you made that make a lot more sense for me, and I will retract.
Well, the timing of it was a little weird to me, too, because I also turned it on right during that anthem, and it was weird because I thought, okay, the game is about to start, and then they like went to they did
yeah.
that, and then they went
yeah.
to commercial break,
and then they came
and
back.
And then yeah. came back with like more pregame thoughts, and then let's go yeah. to the national anthem. I thought, why wouldn't we just do them? But here's, it's like when you play a hockey game and there's a Canadian team and American team.
Yeah, back to
here's
back.
Your anthem.
Right.
Here's your anthem. Boom,
right.
let's go play some hockey. Yeah. And
I think that was a Chiefs thing that they
just
were going to do, and then maybe
that.
NBC and the
okay.
NFL said,
we definitely
oh.
do that for the Super Bowl now. You definitely, that song is
yeah.
sung in every Super Bowl now. Now, every oh. regular season game, no, but
no.
definitely every Super Bowl.
Okay, well, I didn't.
Yeah.
I think
right over the head.
That's what I surmised from it. I could be wrong. Maybe that was an NFL thing, but it was, they sang the song after they recognized the DJ.
The singer just absolutely annihilated the song.
She did.
Yeah,
both anthem singers are really
yeah.
good.
Well, did you notice the national anthem gal, she had feedback or mic issues, and she just powered right the hell
yeah,
through.
Yeah, the playback, she was not happy with the playback.
She was playing with
her,
the ear, and she
yeah.
had a thing on the back, like the switch, and you could tell she was really annoyed, and she just hammered right
yeah.
through that.
Not
thing.
An easy thing to do. You got about 40 million people watching you sing that national anthem. Good luck. Don't screw this one up.
Well, in the if she had feedback, there's you guys know, there's nothing worse than
it's nothing worse than the echo when
2 seconds behind you.
Stuff's not synced up.
Oh, say again.
Yeah.
The
right.
entire time.
And you're just like, well, I can't stop. I have to just
hold on,
keep
guys.
Going.
Hold on. 1 second. Hold on. Can we just turn the music down for a quick second? I'm just going to need to
yeah.
fix this real quick, and then we'll get back
Boy,
into the
she
national
got right
anthem.
Through that thing.
She did. That was wildly impressive.
I'm with you though. Living up to the hype after months and months of buildup.
I'm on a high. I'm going to be on a high all day today.
I'm on a high. We got some college football of local interest.
We do. We got another
yep.
NFL game tonight.
More NFL tonight, Brazilian style.
I don't know how to feel about this game.
Brazilian style.
Did you see the Eagles fan rally?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
They have
They
Sao
were in
Powell.
Some Brazilian beer hall late. They were watching the Chiefs.
The Chiefs game.
Ravens
game.
They're
shown game. On NBC. And they have a big rally in Brazil for this. Sao Paulo Antonio is saying that they are outflanking Packer fan 20-1.
I'm not surprised by that.
Well, it's not that I'm surprised. It's just that's going to... I mean,
it'll be a home game for Philly,
which it should be.
Which
it was originally scheduled as a home game for Philly. But that is a massive gap, 20-1.
My favorite thing so far from them being in Brazil is that a lot of the reporters you can't tweet anymore in Brazil. They shut it down.
Oh, that's right. X was taken.
They can't. You don't have access to it, and so they're having to Diana Rossini was saying this, that they have given their wives their logins. And they're texting their wives what to tweet, and their wives are tweeting them back from Philadelphia, Green Bay, or wherever they're from.
I mean no disrespect here, because I like that they're being smart about that, but is it even worth it at that point? You need the tweet so badly that you have your wife tweet.
We're still going to get the game breakdowns from those people. First down completion, that makes it 2nd and 7. Like, do I need that tweet from
Sirianni
you?
Says yes. He went for 4th down because he didn't want to give Love ball back. Yeah. Tweet that. Thank you.
Tweet that.
Okay.
While they're taking care of, like, cooking dinner back at home. Tweet it now! Tweet it now! I need it now!
Yeah, that's a weird...
It's very weird.
It's a weird deal.
The whole thing is weird. The Packers also have a 2.5-hour bus ride, I believe I read, from their hotel to the stadium.
Oh, they didn't stay in the city?
No.
Oh.
So, you know.
Well, there were some reports that the crime rate in Sao Paulo is obscene.
They didn't want to stay there.
It's not some reports. It's through the roof.
There you go.
Did you see Giants wide receiver Darius Slayton have to go on Twitter and say, "Hey, shout out Brazil. I'm Darius Slayton, wide receiver for the New York Giants, not Darius Slay.
Cornerback
for the Eagles who crapped all over your country."
Make sure we're getting this correct here.
Because he was getting threats.
Yeah.
He was getting international threats.
I don't want to deal with that.
"I'm Darius Slayton." There's a ton there.
T-O-N. Add it to the end.
Well, we're fired up. We are ready to go on a Football Friday. Let's start with what last night was. There's a lot to get to from that, and then we'll kind of ease in. We'll talk some NFL Week 1. We'll obviously talk about the Ducks and the Beavs and big weekends for them. The Cougs, a big weekend for them. The college football slate's not amazing, but there's some games of note, so we'll get to that. We'll spread the line today. It is a loaded Football Friday. Let's get it going on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Did you guys like NBC's pregame walk together and talk together with Maria Taylor, Jason Garrett? Did you see that?
I did not see that. No. Were we on the field?
Yeah, they were walking by in one of the end zones and they were like just giving analysis as they walked.
A walk and talk before the game.
Now, was that
seems a little excessive.
Was that planned or is that because it started pouring and they were
Seemed planned. It looked like a scripted walk, so it looked a little awkward.
I think of all the pregames, I think NBC's is my least favorite.
There's just too many people.
Way too many people.
Too many people.
Have you seen how big the Fox and CBS desks are now? I mean, it's like 9 people.
They're massive. You're not wrong there. I feel like we got like 4 different studios with NBC. We have like 2 different field crews.
That was in Brazil.
Yeah, Dungy, Jack Collinsworth, and Harrison, I think, were in Brazil. So they had to go to them for their analysis on this game, and then back to the on-the-field studio, and then the in-the-studio, and then it just, there's just a lot going on. I'm excited for this game. I don't need that much breakdown.
I don't need that many people
too many voices
talking at me about one game.
What did you make of Travis Kelce's hair?
Surprised the mustache wasn't the bigger story.
The mustache, I'm used to the mustache.
I think we're used to cheesy bad mustaches now, and it's kind of a thing.
That guy used to have a widow's peak with a shaved head, and now he's got a full Tom Brady going on with an absolute dye job.
With a bit of a bowl cut, too. It's kind of a weird Dumb and Dumber bowl cut situation going on. He needs to embrace his inner Brock Bowers, which I thank you to the listeners who tagged me in that video yesterday. I appreciate that.
You got
that.
Tagged in a Brock...
Did you not see the Brock Bowers video? Yeah.
At the locker?
Brock
Bowers. Yeah, just go ahead and search Brock Bowers on Twitter, and you'll enjoy it. I appreciate the tags on
that. I don't think you should have been tagged. That's a different level.
There was, hey, Dirt, it could be worse. Like, well, you know, just tweeted back the Alonzo Mourning gif. You're not wrong there, I guess. You got into something. That, I mean, he needs to embrace his Brock Bowers, man.
But he's
be
not
a bald
that
guy.
Bald.
Be a bald guy. Maybe Swiftie told him she would dump his ass if he didn't have any hair anymore. She doesn't want to be seen dating a bald guy.
I just thought it was a really, like, that was the most obvious dye job I've ever seen, and there's hair now, and I'm just like, what's going on here?
Is it worth it, you think? Because everybody knows exactly what you're doing. Like, do people forget? Do we get over it at some point? Is it just about looking in the mirror and feeling better about yourself? Like, everybody looks at Travis Kelce and Tom Brady and Brian Urlacher and all the people who have done it over the years. We all know what you're doing. You're not fooling anybody.
Well, but back in the day, it used to be more of, I think, of an awkwardness because most of them were just rugs. And so, like, nowadays, there's actual... Yeah. I have a buddy of mine that just... I worked with him. We were friends for a while. And, you know, he moved to Dallas, Texas. I don't really talk to him anymore, but we follow each other. He just went to Turkey and got fake hair.
He went all the way to Turkey for fake hair?
All the way to Turkey.
Do they have better fake hair than us in Turkey?
I don't know.
Oh.
And he was like filming himself and kind of documenting the journey and was like, he's coming in okay. But he wasn't admitting what he was there, but it was fairly obvious because he's got a shaved head. And so he had it just LeBron style put on there, and I haven't seen a follow-up to it.
I want the final photo. I want to know what happened in Turkey. I need an answer to this.
There, I think because of how far they've come from like a little black dust on your head and a carpet.
Or a Sharpie. Or
now there's actual medical procedures to give you real hair. I don't know if people look at it the same. Like if you came in with fake hair, you were gone for 3 weeks, why.
I'm on vacation, I come back, and I got a full head of hair.
I think we talk about it, but I'm not shaming you over it. I wouldn't blame you whatsoever.
Yeah, it's not even
Jason Witten unhappy?
I don't know. What is Jason Witten doing now after he got turfed and broadcast?
Well, I don't know, but his hair was obviously
hanging out in Dallas.
Real.
They definitely had fake hair. There would be a very weird dynamic, I think, if I were to do that. Now, I'm not fully bald, but I know what my future is. I'm not lying to myself here. I know what the next 10 to 15 years look like for me.
But if you could get a medical procedure done?
I don't know if I would do it.
Really?
I would feel weird looking in the mirror every day, to be honest with you.
What would make you feel weird about it?
Like, that's not me.
You didn't earn this?
I didn't earn this, you know? It's like getting skinny on Ozempic. Like, I'm not knocking you for it, but it's you're cutting
the drug
corners
is doing
here.
It, not you.
Exactly. You're Bill Belichick. I'm spying on the Rams practice. I didn't earn it fair and square. I'm Connor Stallions of hair growth and weight loss. I don't want to be Connor Stallions. I want to earn it, man.
Dude, you're going to take Ozempic and get fake hair and just be like, who is this guy?
Come back after a month off, just be all skinny and chiseled with a full head of
just
hair like Fabio.
Oh, man.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. What happened to your hair? Nothing. What are you talking about? It's always been this way.
I think as long as you just acknowledge it, you just go, okay, good job, man. It looks great.
It looks good.
I got no problems with it.
Does Travis Kelce do that to his hair if he's not dating Taylor Swift?
Not a chance.
It
is still cut at a one.
Yes.
There's a lineup going on.
He definitely has a lineup.
Look, we know who Travis Kelce is. We all know who he is. We know those people.
He's got a bit of a Post Malone thing going on right now. Travis Kelce 7 years
he's
ago.
He's going into
very different than Travis Kelce right now.
How did you start? With braids and talking about Allen Iverson. Where are you at now? Long hair, country music.
Need a beer with my friends because I'm stuck in traffic. I'm singing country music now.
Let's just call that an illegal formation.
Yeah,
Travis
flag,
Kelce.
Throw a flag.
The first flag thrown on the Chiefs today.
Throw it right now.
Illegal formation.
Jesus, buddy. Can we stop blowing the damn whistle? Look, if you want to tell me that it is going to be consistent everywhere, all for it. You're going to tell me that these guys got to line up. You're not going to allow them to jump early. We're going to be throwing flags left and right. All for it. When you come out on the opening drive of the season, they still scored a touchdown despite it.
And
throw
a great opening drive.
74 flags for illegal formations on the Baltimore Ravens. And then you flip over and on Kansas City's first drive, their right tackle is doing what he always does.
Juwan Taylor.
Jumping about a half second before the ball is snapped. Yeah, and it's just like, oh, whatever. What are you going to do?
Way lined up behind.
Way lined up behind and jumping early. The double whammy, two flags, pick your poison. No, like, you have to be consistent with it. It was an absolute joke last night.
So, correct me if I'm wrong here. Maybe this is a text police correction because you may not know. But you just made me remember. I believe when Lane Johnson was famously doing this against the Niners in the NFC title game, and he was doing it in the Super Bowl, am I wrong in saying, didn't they say like something to the effect of allowing... There's a stipulation with it where he can move a little early and it's not a false start.
I believe I remember that. If you're close enough, they won't flag it, which is absolute horse ass.
It is absolute horse ass because every day of our lives, and no matter your age, that has been a false start.
You can't move early.
But because edge rushers are so incredibly athletic and gifted now, it's like, well, we'll give you a little bit of leeway here. And I believe that's why they don't call him for false starts, because he is absolutely, and he was doing this all playoffs and all Super Bowl.
The entire Super Bowl.
Committing false starts on every snap.
Yes.
What I'm confused about is what you said. They are trying to crack down on this illegal formation. They want you more lined up with the others. I was so stumped watching, and I didn't gamble on this game, so I had no lettuce writing on this.
Mm-hmm.
Stumped how Ronnie Stanley is technically off, but Juwan Taylor was not.
It didn't make, I don't understand.
He was more egregious, I thought, in lining up off than Stanley was.
I think you're supposed to be connected to the right
guard. Yes.
And neither of them were, but Baltimore, it felt like, was the only team that got flagged for it all night.
Like three in a row on the opening.
Right out of the gate, and then it lingered the entire game.
You know that old saying, they don't call holding every time. Well, they did on the illegal formation.
Yeah.
They certainly did.
Yeah, they're going to have to really give teams a little bit more detail on the precision of it, what they're looking for, what's going to draw a flag.
They became the story of the game. Yeah. Sadly, they did. It was a great game.
That's the NFL, though, isn't it? I'm back. Like, you just forget because they've been out of our lives for a while. I forget how much I hate NFL officials. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's a tough job, yada, yada, yada. But
well, there's more technical, specific rules in football than I feel like is...
Very subjective things, so it's tough.
I think the other aspect of it is, and look, I am now officially in Chief Hater camp, and I've made this known I hate him. I don't want him to win again. I'm tired. I love Mahomes. I love Andy Reid. It's nothing personal against him.
An uncle on social media. We knew where you were going.
Exactly.
We saw your posts.
We don't need to show Taylor Swift four times during the game. Okay, I get it that she's there. She's very happy for Travis. This fake relationship can just go away now.
That's going to be a John Deere shirt next week.
It absolutely is. Get this off my TV. but it like. You hate to go conspiracy theory guy, but when you hate something, it does lend its credence to it.
Week one conspiracy, okay.
I mean, when you come out with those flags for illegal formations on Baltimore constantly, we're not calling the same thing the other way. Later on during the game, at a pivotal snap, they allow Kansas City's defensive coordinator, Spagnuolo, to call a timeout.
Yeah.
That's against the rules.
It's illegal.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
And he goes sprinting down the sideline. I don't know if Andy Reid just can't move that quick and couldn't get the timeout in time.
No, Andy Reid didn't know he was going to call
it. He didn't know. They were just freaking out about the formation. Go call cut. And they gave them, they granted them the timeout.
And he just laughs it off. He's like, I got away with it.
Oh, look at that. I guess we couldn't do that, but we got away with it, huh? It's like, man, the officiating, them winning by an inch, like, oh, the hatred, the Taylor Swift mentions, it's just rising, the blood boiling.
You hate this team.
It's getting there, buddy. It's getting there. They were that close. They kept KD away from tying the game and maybe
winning
the game.
Three Super Bowls. Here we go.
They've broken me. They have absolutely broken me. I just got done with Tom Brady dominating my entire life in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I thought, finally a respite. Finally some new storylines. And nope, here comes a guy who's already got three and he's going to win four.
Well, let's talk about the actual football. Let's get away from officiating and conspiracy and borderline questionable white guy on radio ranting about things.
And we don't have to talk about them going for two if they would have made it or not.
God, that would have been such a fun end.
Let's talk about it. Oh, we were robbed. We were robbed of it. I mean, it was already a great ending, but it could have been a little better. Let's talk about the game stuff next on The Fan.
So I think yesterday the Bills probably also suffered a loss at the same level of the Ravens for many people. Xavier Worthy scoring two touchdowns, as you heard there from Tirico.
Yeah.
They traded with Kansas City in the first round. Kansas City went and got Xavier Worthy. They didn't. And so the Buffalo Bills took an absolute stray on social media yesterday because Xavier Worthy had two touchdowns. I understand that Kansas City does these things and they have success and they win. And in the same way we react to a close win by a good team or a loss, I was reminded football is back in my lives because we've all concluded Xavier Worthy is Tyreek Hill already. And it's been 1 week.
Yes.
And a blown coverage and Buffalo not having Xavier Worthy that we've concluded, oh no, it's over for the league. I saw so many respectable pundits.
It's done, man.
Basically saying, it's over. There's not a chance. Just wrap it up. And I'm like, really? I mean, it was a good debut, but.
It was.
Wow. Okay. We're concluding the entire season's over because Xavier Worthy is a Chief.
I mean, it is a little funny how quickly we rushed to crown people. He had some great highlights in training camp. I want to repeat that. Highlights in training camp. And those went viral on social media, and it led many people to think that. Here they go. The next Tyreek Hill. How did we let Kansas City get this guy? He might go on to have a really good career. To the larger point, he had three touches last night. Two of them were touchdowns. One of them was because of a blown coverage. And Marlon Humphrey thought that he had help over the top. He was basically playing cover two. There was no help over the top. And that's why he scored a second touchdown. He definitely brings a dynamic of speed and explosiveness that they've been kind of missing in that offense. And I think we can all acknowledge.
Yeah.
But this idea that we should already put him on a pedestal like a Tyreek Hill type of player is it's a bit over our skis for week one of the NFL season.
Well, one of my takeaways, aside from his speed, is he just looks tiny. And so, like, if he gets through a season, Tyreek Hill is not tall, but Tyreek Hill is built.
He's built like a brick house, man.
This dude is, like, skinny and small. Yeah. And so it's like, if he can get through the first blank amount of weeks, sure, like I'll acknowledge if he becomes a next Tyreek Hill for them. He definitely adds wrinkles to what was, as we pointed out yesterday, a very mediocre to bad offense last year.
Yeah.
And that's not to mention they didn't have Hollywood Brown last night either.
No.
So he definitely adds a wrinkle. I just love that we've concluded anything and everything about Xavier Worthy as a Chief. The Ravens, we talked about the illegal formations. We may not have liked it. What did we make of what we saw from Baltimore? Because they seemed like a weird team last night.
Very weird. Good start, and then they went dysfunctional offensively for a while, and then fell down, and they were able to find their way back into the game.
That offensive line late. Was just getting gashed by Chris Jones.
They were. Chris Jones dominated them, and I think that was the fear for Baltimore. I think they got three new starters up front on their offensive line, and so that's just that's tough to figure out. I thought they ran the ball efficiently on their opening drive, which allowed them to get to all their play-action pieces and getting Lamar out on the edge, and they were targeting Lively down the field, and everything was kind of flowing well. And then when you took that away, outside of Lamar scrambling and making plays with his legs, which he did a ton last night, Derrick Henry did not have that big of an impact on the game. His longest run of the night was 9 yards.
How many carries, though, did he have?
He only had 13 carries for 46 yards.
Why is that not 20 carries?
Yeah, I mean, it's the tough part. I think part of it is just Chris Jones.
It's obviously a run. I think that's
when
always
he's in
been,
the game. That's the tough part with
him. The one tough thing about Derrick Henry, he is a great player and has a great career. But I think if he's in, Baltimore's kind of giving their secret away. It's going to be a run. And so what do? They load the box up, tackle the big dude.
Yeah, to that point, Justice Hill, their other back, had one carry for 3 yards and then added six catches for 52 yards. And so when he was in the game, he was primarily a receiving target. And not a rushing target.
Or a blocker of Chris Jones late in the game.
Or a blocker
which was
of Chris Jones.
What are you doing?
Well, and then they had the fourth down play, too, where Nelson Aguilar, I mean, we were making fun of the play on our text feed, but Nelson Aguilar was supposed to block the corner, and he just ran right by him. And if he does, Zay Flowers has an easy first down. And it's just It's a mix up in game one of the season, which you're going to have for a lot of different teams. I want to see more of the Lamar Derrick Henry zone read and unleashing both of them in the run game, because I think to your larger point, it is pretty obvious when he's lined up, you know, deep eye back, like, all right, are you running left or are you running right?
Yeah.
And if we can stop this, we feel pretty good about our ability to beat you. Getting him in the backfield with Lamar and having them both be the threats to run that they are, I think they utilize that a little bit on the opening drive. Outside of that, not much. So they got to be able to run the football in order to win. That's always been their bread and butter, and Lamar was the only one that could last night.
Skinny Lamar was made a big deal. He's got some speed back is what they say. I love Lamar Jackson. Totally understand people that point to that game and say, see, that's why he's never going to win. I thought he ran too much. He
took a lot of hits.
The amount of hits, he was lowering shoulders.
It was hurt. I mean, they lost the AFC title, man. He's been lingering and sleeping on that for months now.
I get it.
A lot of those were scrambles, though. They were...
But that's good. That's what he should be doing. If there's nobody open, and I text this to you guys, likely ended up having a big game after I had sent in the chat. You want likely being your number two option. I think that's something to keep watching with Baltimore. Zay Flowers, he's good.
Nobody else can seemingly get separation.
Bateman had one catch that you remember from that game, and it might have been his only catch.
It's a hell of a catch, but yeah, he had two, I think, on the night.
Their options are a little limited, and if Likely's not going to have a big game, Andrews is still working his way back, it's kind of like Zay Flowers and who?
Yeah, that's where Mark Andrews looked...
a little washed.
60% last night. Yeah. I mean, he had two targets on the night. They need him to be another weapon because I'm with you. I think Lively can continue to develop into a really good piece for them. But if he's your number two and you don't have a reliable number three, that's where I think the strength of their offense should be based around having two elite tight ends and all the different things that you could do with that. But if Andrews is not going to get to back where he was before the injury, then you got issues.
Well, it came down to the wire here. Baltimore got the ball. They got a stop. They drove. It's 27-20. There's seconds left. Lamar missed. We thought it was a Zay Flowers throw. I was wondering if Zay was supposed to sit in the zone.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
But I don't understand the nuances of all that stuff. He misses the throw. Lamar says in the post game that was actually for Bateman, which makes me go, "Woof, that was not just a bad throw for Zay Flowers, also a bad throw for Rashad Bateman."
You missed them both.
But he hit Isaiah Likely in the back of the end zone, and we all thought in real time like this is a touchdown. Here is Isaiah Likely. Where is it? Sorry, I should have found this cut. Oh, here it is. Thank you. Isaiah Likely, who had a toe out. He was a toe too long. He had a Kevin Durant moment. He was talking about the Chiefs in this game and the postgame. This is what he had to say.
I say this is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the postseason.
I mean, why would you say that?
Why?
I just don't get it. Why? Why
so
would you do that?
So unnecessary.
Great game. We were an inch away. Hopefully we get another crack at him in the playoffs. Like, that's all you have. Why?
I don't know. I don't know why he did that. He also had this. This is Patrick Mahomes was talking about Likely's just like a toe over the line. His advice for Isaiah Likely.
He's got to wear white cleats next time. That's my advice for him.
I mean, if he's wearing white cleats, I don't think it gets overturned. It would have been like, I can't tell. Is it on?
I think we would have still seen
the black
it.
Is so obvious on the white, though.
I
there's
know.
So many of those where it's like, I think maybe, but you got to remember, there's got to be indisputable. They called it a touchdown on the field, so you had to have indisputable evidence to overturn it. My favorite tweet of the night, I think, was saying, do we realize that Blake, I want to go Blake Lively. I don't know why. It's stuck in my head for some reason.
Isaiah Likely. What's your algorithm looking like right now?
You don't need to look into that. Isaiah Likely. Do you realize that his toe might end up dictating home field advantage in the playoffs?
Isn't that crazy?
That might be that. Like they, I don't know how the rest of the year is going to go. I imagine both these teams will be in the playoffs. They're very talented teams, but if that ends up being the difference between the 1 seed, the 2 seed, the 3 seed, whatever, it's going to be hilarious to think back to opening night.
I also learned last night my dad is a coward. I'm like, if they score, you have to go for the win. He goes, no way, man. You got to go for overtime. You want to go overtime with Patrick Mahomes?
No.
You go for the win.
No.
And what were they going to do when they thought they scored?
Oh, he said two immediately.
Harbaugh said two.
And he's done that before.
Hell yeah, and they should have.
But they had all the momentum. Kansas City on that last drive was,
They were gassed at the end.
They were giving it.
We got robbed.
We got robbed.
We were a half toe away from having either an amazing stop by the Chiefs on a 2-point conversion or almost a walk-off victory for the Raiders.
Speak for yourself. I ended up pushing the under bet. It hit the number 47.
It was 47.
It was 47 at DraftKings at close.
Sprague in the line, it was 46.5. Thanks for that one.
Oh.
Man, nice little low and three weekend.
Oh, you had the
I had the under at 46.5.
Yeah, I got it at 47.
47 at close, and they scored 47.
It's tough to do point spreads and over-unders of games a week out because so much can change.
It's going to move,
and you just took that one.
I took that line.
And you lost it by a half point.
I felt great in the first half. The first quarter, kind of some field goals
early. First quarter was a little dicey, though.
Yeah, the early touchdowns and then a lot of field goals.
I almost thought about saying something at the start of the fourth quarter, and then boom, boom.
Yeah, touchdown, touchdown.
Likely and worthy.
Oh, great.
Uh-oh.
Great. This is awesome. Cool. There goes the under.
Very quickly, you guys have the same takeaway on, like, it kind of just felt like, damn it, if Xavier Worthy's healthy, just give him the crown.
I mean, there definitely is that vibe in the NFL. There definitely is. They're a cockroach.
Because their offense looked better, and their defense is already good because they have the best
And they'll get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back for a little more depth at running back.
Watson was perfectly fine opposite Trent McDuffie. Justin Reed's a hammer. Like, I'm just watching this team like, damn it, dude. They're not going anywhere.
How do they keep getting away with this?
Nobody else is good?
No, I know. And then you got to remind yourself that Baltimore was an inch away, but inches matter, and they lost the game because of that. And so I hope we get a rematch in the playoffs. It was a really fun start to the NFL season, but definitely the cockroach vibe still alive.
All right, we got a lot more to get into. We'll dive into Oregon State football games that are happening this week and a little bit of a light slate, I would say, in college football. And we'll dive back in. We got a lot of NFL to talk about as well. Dirt and Sprague, 646 on the Fan. Well, timing is kind of everything. Oregon's got a big game this weekend. We didn't think we'd say that.
No, big one. Big one on the Peacock. Tonight on the Peacock, tomorrow on the Peacock. I watched the game last night on Peacock, too.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
I forgot tonight's game is Peacock exclusive.
Only on Peacock.
My dad is staying at my house. We stayed at the house last night, and he just happened to turn the show on literally as I went. And my dad's a coward.
Whoa.
Timing is just everything.
Just catching a stray, man. My brother's the same way. Every time Lanning has a call, he did this to me after the game on Saturday because Lanning went for it on 4th and 7. They got the false start, and then 4th and 2, they scored the touchdown.
Yeah.
And he was ranting and raving in my text, man, kick the field goal! Kick the field goal! Like, come on, man. It's not 1994 anymore. We have evolved our way of thinking analytically. Yeah. And Lanning actually gave a good answer on that with Isaac Nsukh yesterday. But it's just some people, man, they have a hard time adjusting to it. The go for two down by 14-1, that's always controversial
it's
when
always
you get
weird.
The first touchdown.
It feels weird.
Why would you do that? Yeah, but it's analytics, man.
I do the opposite to Kyle Shanahan. When he 4th and 3, he'll kick a field goal. And I'm like, oh, you little chick. And then they'll win by 2. And I'm like, well, I guess that field goal actually matters.
Good call, Kyle.
Good job, Kyle. You're good at this. And I'm not. I'm on my couch.
That's why you're a head coach.
I'm on my couch telling you not to go for it. You know, polarizing takeaway, too. I don't mean to make the whole first hour one game.
I mean, that game deserved
but
it.
But that was a great game.
That was an incredible game.
It's all we had.
Football team. It's all we had. Lamar continues and just probably for his whole career or until he's no longer elite, if he is even elite, just going to be a polarizing player. And last night was exactly why people love to trot out and say how not good he is or overrated he is. He obviously missed some throws, likely in the back corner of the end zone, which that looked disgusting in real time, that injury.
It did. It looked like he shredded his shoulder.
And then he comes back 2 plays later and catches what we think is the touchdown.
I wonder if he just got the wind knocked out of him. He sort of landed on his hip.
That was a big collision,
yeah,
for sure.
But he missed that throw. He missed a couple throws last night. He was 26 of 41, 273. He's just such a polarizing player, and it's just people on both sides. You know where I stand on this. I've made that abundantly clear. But I will also be honest. He absolutely missed some throws. But we're also watching Patrick Mahomes on the other side, and so it makes it
the comparison's a little out of whack at that
little
point.
Yeah.
I mean, just you can't compare anybody to Mahomes. That should be lesson number one.
But this guy has 2 MVPs, and like, well, this guy has his, what, does Mahomes have 1? Does he have 2?
I think he's got 2.
Okay, but it's like, guy has as many MVPs as Mahomes.
2, but he also has 2 Super Bowl MVPs?
3.
3 Super Bowl MVPs.
I think he's been the MVP in every one of their. Yeah, somebody texted in, can you please address the bad throws by Lamar? Like, please, I counted at least 6 of them.
Yeah.
Look, nobody's making the throws that he had on the last drive. The last one that was the 1 inch away from being a touchdown throw was a pretty solid throw. That was a clutch throw in that moment. The other two were ones that were horrible. The first one where he was going to the back pylon, the
likely
one we were just talking about,
wide
he
open,
was wide open, yeah. And he airmailed
he
him.
Saw
and
it
that's
too
a,
late, and then yeah. he airmailed
yes.
it.
Bad throw, bad read on his part. Nobody's going to make an excuse for that. The other one where there was a confusion, is he throwing to Bateman? Is he throwing to Flowers?
Well, he was scrambling at that
He's scrambling.
Point, too.
Is
that
somebody
was
sitting down?
Improvisational.
Like, that was not a great throw, and he missed two different wide receivers on the same play. Like, nobody's going to make excuses for those. I think the only thing that I will ever argue about Lamar, first off, stop comparing anybody to Mahomes. Mahomes is one of one. There's nobody that touches him in the NFL. You have to compare him with everybody else. Everybody else is in a fight for number two, and Lamar is definitely in that fight. Is that when you're going to point out the bad throws, I will grant you that. But can the next text message be about how him running around literally kept Baltimore in the game?
Yeah.
And without him scrambling
did.
Around and making plays with yeah. his legs, what is the final score of that game?
What do you have, 115 yards rushing?
122
just
yards.
Scramble, yeah. Just carry it and just put the team on his back in the second half and said, I'm going to put my body on the line, and I'm going to carry us back into this ballgame. And so he's a very unique quarterback to analyze. Similar to the decisions to go for two or to kick field goals, he's a modern football problem where some people are stuck in the conundrum of looking at quarterback play in one singular way, and if you're not perfect at that singular way, mm-hmm. we try and discredit you, whereas I just think it takes more nuance, man. Like, he's not the most elite thrower of the football in the NFL. He never has been. Yeah. He never will be. What makes him dynamic is his ability to make plays with his arms and then add 116 on the ground, and so nobody makes excuses for the bad throws, but if you're going to criticize those, give him credit, because if he doesn't run, they lose by 20 last night.
I actually think the final thing on this, because I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, we're talking about a dude that like 26, maybe 27 organizations would take right now as their starting quarterback.
Yes.
Even if they have one that they've paid, they'd be like, well, that guy wins. He's pretty damn good. The Ravens, I don't know if you've seen it in his career. They've had a lot of success.
They're in the playoffs every year. They're in the AFC title game last year.
They just haven't won a Super Bowl, yeah. And we already got into that. What I would say is I think last night's ending basically sums up the league. Kansas City's going to lose games this year. We don't know when. We don't know to who. They're going to. They're not going to go undefeated. But I thought last night basically summed up the AFC. Baltimore was 13-4 last year. They were the best team in football. They dominated the Niners on Monday night. They made everybody go, oh, this is the year. They're finally going to do it. I gambled on that team to win the AFC title game. They laid a dud. Who'd they lose to? Mahomes. What happened last night? They get to like the 6-yard line, last play of the game. They throw a pass. Likely half toe is on the line. And we go, game over, Chiefs win. Oh, man, Lamar sucks. That, I thought that ending summed up the AFC and almost the NFL in general.
Yeah.
There are so many teams Baltimore's caliber. But what happens when you play the Chiefs? That thin margin between you and them having Patrick Mahomes, that's the difference.
That's the difference.
And they're a half toe, and Lamar getting that touchdown pass from maybe going for the win or maybe losing on a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because they have Mahomes. He's 20 of 28. And they win. It's poetic in a sense of this is what the NFL against the Chiefs and Mahomes basically is. Hey, we're 6 yards away.
We're right there.
And you're still 6 yards away. Yeah. And that team will win in the most crucial of moments most of the time.
Because of him.
And we're arguing about Lamar when, look, you can tell me his accuracy is questionable. You can't debate if he's a top 5 to 6 quarterback. And if you do, argue with a wall. I don't know what to tell you at this point. He has had almost as much success as anybody not named Patrick Mahomes, but this is what happens. We start questioning players and their greatness and if they can do it, because that's what the rest of the league is doing. You don't think the Niners last year were worthy of being a Super Bowl champion? What happened? Patrick Mahomes. And that summed it up last night, the way that game ended.
He's a problem, man.
He's a definite problem.
He's a damn problem.
And Chris Jones is a problem. Oh, my God. Do we give him the DPOY now?
Just shoving offensive linemen out of the way.
My Lord.
Let's try and block that guy.
A lot to get to in the second hour. We'll pivot out of football, the NFL. We'll get back into the NFL. A lot of big games. We have one tonight. There's one on Sunday night. Interesting week one slate. We'll Sprague the line at 8:30. Hour two, we kick off Ducks, Boise State. We care a lot. Hour two on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.